Let's pray. Father God, we give you praise that you and your love have called us together here this morning to worship you. Out of your love for us, you have brought us to worship you, O Lord. For you, Lord, and you alone are worthy of all of our praise. And, O God, it is our greatest joy and heartfelt need to worship you, O God. Lord, I ask by your Holy Spirit, you would draw us to yourself now, that you would open our eyes and ears to see and hear Jesus, whether for the very first time in salvation or in deeper and deeper ways, Lord God, that draw us even closer to you. Father, we pray as we continue to worship you and as we study your word now, Lord, that you would be at work in our minds, in our hearts, and in our souls, shaping us, conforming us to the image of Jesus through the working of your word, Almighty God. Help us to see you in your word. And then fill us with such longing and desire to follow you, O God. Let us not just be hearers of the words of the word, but doers of the word, O Lord God. So we humbly ask that you would come now, that you would bless us and draw us into Jesus. It is in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So we've been in a few different places here over the past month or two. We had been going through the book of Exodus. We returned back to Exodus, but then Easter came in and changed things up a little bit. Going back now, 4 weeks, we paused in Exodus to take a look at Joel 1 and 2. I really felt that the Lord was calling us to declare a time, a season of sacred assembly, as he did in Joel 1 and 2, and that launched us for the remainder of the Lenten season as a congregation to gather together to pray and fast on Wednesday evenings and then on Sunday mornings together to seek the Lord very, very intentionally. And I thank the Lord for that. While that specific sacred assemblies came to an end with the coming of Easter, I do want to hold out to us that going forward, the first Wednesday of every month, try to hopefully make it easy for us to remember, the first Wednesday of every month, we'll have a time of prayer again, a time to gather again. And this is going forward. Well, we'll gather at 6:30 here in the sanctuary. We'll talk more about this as it comes up, because it will be June 5th, I think is the date, the first Wednesday in June. We'll gather again, and we'll invite all who would like to come. You know, welcome. If you would like to fast, we can talk through that also. And it's really a time for us as the body of Christ to come together to intentionally seek the Lord and pray for repentance in our own hearts, for reconciliation one another where needed, and for revival, for God to bring forth revival in ourselves, in our congregation, in our community, in our nation, and around the world. So I just want to, we'll call that out more as the time comes up. I want to get you thinking that way, that if you were able to partake of the sacred assemblies And it was great. Sometimes they were here. Sometimes we had satellite prayer meetings in Ireland or wherever else folks had gathered, which is wonderful. Praying around the world. Praise the Lord. That's just awesome. But that it's not just something that was a once and done and we're over, that we want to have a time to carry that forth. But now we'll come back to the book of Exodus and pick up where we left off, which I know was awkward because it was right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. But we're going to pick up where we left off there. But I will read through the entire section of the Ten Commandments. So please turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. If you recall, we saw that the whole structure of the Ten Commandments is a covenant, that God makes a covenant with His people. It follows the same format as His other covenants. And so God is the King, and we are His servants. And He is forming and defining this relationship with us, right? Remember in high school or middle school, we used to have the defining the relationship talk. Anyone? No? Are you serious? Okay. So the defining the relationship talk was when you kind of liked the girl and maybe she kind of liked you when you were friends. And that, yeah, I see a few nods over here. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all. You kind of like each other a little bit, but you know you're kind of embarrassed to say it, and you're friends, and then you're hanging out, and now you're more than friends, and you really don't know what's going on here. Usually the guy doesn't know what's going on. So you have to have a defining the relationship conversation. All right, that was a bad example illustration here. But God is not kind of asking us, well, what do you think? Would you like to be my people? But in His grace and love, He is declaring the nation of Israel, His people. And He is laying forth how they are going to walk together in His loving kindness. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. We'll look at verses 1 through 21. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses His name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but He rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. When the people saw the thunder and lightning, and heard the trumpet, and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance, And they said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. This is God's word. The Ten Commandments, the foundation of the relationship between God and His people. Asked in the New Testament, folks come to Jesus and say, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And He summarizes all the commandments as, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And in one way, the Ten Commandments, they break up. One way to look at them, to try to understand the themes of them, is that the first four commandments are about how we love God, or about our relationship to God. And then the last six commandments are about our relationship with one another, how we love our neighbor. But also, if you look at them another way, is that the first three are about our right relationship with God. The fourth one, which we'll look at this morning, is about our right relationship and worship of God. It has a lot to do with the way we worship God. And then the last six have to do with our right relationship to one another, but also society as a whole goes beyond. When it's thinking about neighbor, not just referring to fellow believers, but to really everyone in our society. So just to summarize where we've been, we went through the first three commandments. So there's the prologue there where God is saying who He is and who He has been in relationship to His people. That's covenant language there, reminding them that He is the one who saved them out of slavery. It's He who makes this covenant now. It's not some random God. It's not some random person coming along. No, they have history together. They have seen God at work and experienced His power and His goodness. Then, oh, thank you, Michael, thank you. So in the first commandment, God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." The second commandment, "Make no image of God." And the third commandment, "Do not misuse God's name." Describing how we are to be in right relationship with God, the ways we are to walk with God and think of God, the ways that we are to relate with Him as we follow Him as His people, grafted into the vine of Israel by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. How we are to love the Lord our God. Well, now in the fourth commandment, showing us and calling us again in a way and how we are to love the Lord our God, He says, "Remember the Sabbath day," beginning in verse 8. And we're really going to focus on verses 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day." Now, for many of us, that's a strange commandment, I think. Maybe you grew up in the church, kind of went to church all your life for a very long time, and so maybe in your family, the idea of the Sabbath day was very clearly defined. Interesting, even when I was younger, and as a child, in Massachusetts, we had the Blue Laws, right? And so stores weren't open on Sunday. It's interesting when you have a whole culture functioning in one way that establishes boundaries on how we are to live, right? Something was different about Sunday from our whole society standpoint. And maybe in your family, that was set aside as a day at church. And so maybe you went to church in the morning and maybe stayed all day, all into the evening. Or maybe you went in the morning, went home and had supper. It wasn't lunch, right? It was supper you have, and then you come back to church in the evening time. Maybe that was your concept of Sabbath. So it was very clearly defined for you and your family. But for others of us, the idea of Sabbath, if it doesn't mean the day we go to church, it might mean very little. It might mean almost nothing. Sabbath may sound like something in the Old Testament that we just don't do anymore, that we don't really need to focus on anymore. Maybe you think of it as, you know, just a day off. But that's not how God describes the Sabbath, like what the Sabbath is. It's not described as just a simple day off. It's not described as a day when you must go to church. It's not really how it describes it, though I think, as we'll see, that's a wonderful thing. The command here is to remember the Sabbath day. So let's take a look at this passage and how it describes that. We're to remember, and by remembering, it doesn't just mean, oh yeah, I remember that Sabbath day exists, but it means to observe it, to function in it, to live into what the Sabbath day is. First of all, how? How are we to keep the Sabbath day? Well, the rest of verse 8 there describes one way, how we remember the Sabbath day, how we follow this command from God is we keep it holy. So that's the first thing we learn from God's Word here, is that the Sabbath day is holy. Holy means set apart. Holy means without blemish, without sin. That it's separate. Right? There's a sense of in God's holiness, there is no darkness in Him. That there is no sin in Him, and so it makes Him set apart from everything that isn't God, everyone who isn't God. For we are sinful, even when we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. So we're to set apart the Sabbath. It's supposed to be different. Now that may be dumbing it down too much even. That may be lowering what God is intending here too much. So I want to be careful here. But by keeping it holy, at the very least, I would suggest that means we are setting it aside, and it's something special. For us, as believers, Jesus set aside the Sabbath as something other. They would often go into the temple courts every day to pray and worship together. So they'd have prayer meetings every day. But the Sabbath, and we'll talk in a minute about what day seven, day one, but the Sabbath was something that was set apart. We've just gone through a series of having sacred assemblies together through the Lenten season, which I know is unusual for many of us, the idea of Lent, if you come from a Baptist tradition. I know, like Lent, that's something that Catholics do, right? Anyways, no, it's okay. And we went through this Lenten season with this series of sacred assemblies. Well, the Scriptures also call for us on the Sabbath to have a sacred assembly. It uses that same language of the Sabbath. That this day is different than the others. I think that our Jewish neighbors can teach us so much about the idea of keeping the Sabbath holy, of having the Sabbath be set apart. Right? Now, I'm careful because I've never been to Israel, but what I have been told, that, for example, in Jerusalem, as the Sabbath comes on, and you know they will celebrate at sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday, over speakers throughout the whole city, you hear the shofar, the ram's horn, blow through the whole city, which says to everyone, Sabbath has begun. And then everything is closed, and public transportation stops. Talk about a cultural framework, right? You can't decide, oh, I don't want to keep Sabbath. No, you're going to keep Sabbath. You may do it differently, but you can't decide that, oh, I'm going to go, you know, run into the office today. Well, no, you can't get there. And the office is closed, and everything is closed. Oh, I got to pick up some eggs. We forgot eggs yesterday. Got to wait till the next day to get the eggs. If, you know, you can't do that because the whole culture comes together and says, this day is different. This day is special. And I think we, as evangelical, American, Christian, whatever framework, labels we want to put on that, I know it's shifting all the time. We keep losing our definitions. We don't do that so much. Again, maybe we'll go to church, but the day isn't set aside as a special day, as a day we welcome as our families. As a day in which we declare, this is the Lord's day, and it's different. It's different than all the others. In some ways. Some ways that we set it apart. I also think that we tend to define the Sabbath on what we don't do, as opposed to what we do do. So it becomes a list of do's and don'ts. Chariots of Fire is what else? My favorite movies. It's an awesome movie, right? And in it, Eric Little is coming out of church going into church. I think he's coming out of church, and he sees a couple of young boys playing sports. I don't know if they're playing soccer or football or something like that. And he says, "Whoa, stop! This is the Lord's day. We don't play on the Lord's day. Come back tomorrow and I'll play with you," right? And that was a cultural reference for him. As we know the rest of the story, he wouldn't run on Sunday and all that. But in a sense, that was defining the Sabbath as what we don't do. We don't, as he was saying, play sports on Sunday. Now again, that's not proscribed in Scripture or prohibited in Scripture. That was a cultural manifestation of their Sabbath keeping then. But I don't want us to always think about what the Sabbath is and what we can't do. When we keep it holy and set it apart, doesn't mean that nothing is joyful. I actually think the Lord wants our Sabbath to be joyful. Yes, Malin, wait. Exactly, because God is fun. God, absolutely. I would say that's why I have toys in my office, because I want kids to remember, hey, we used to play in the pastor. We used to play at church, right? I think that's really, really wonderful. But something in the Sabbath should be special. One thing that we do is that we set aside the Sabbath day as a day for extra snacks. And soda. You know, kids, we typically don't have soda on regular days. But on the Sabbath, you get to have soda. And we'll get some extra Doritos or whatever on the Sabbath. Because it's the Sabbath. And it's different. And it's special. Right? There's something special about the Sabbath. And in doing that, that's one way that we keep the Sabbath holy. Second, in verses 9 and 10, we are to do no work. This is how we remember the Sabbath day. We are to do no work. And I love it here. We do no work and we can't outsource it. All right? We can't try to think that somehow we're the super spiritual ones and so we're going to pay someone else to do our work for us. I mean, he goes really into it here, the Lord, right? You shall do no work. Neither you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, not even your animals, not even the aliens. So you can't say, well, we'll hire some non-Christians to do our work while we keep the Sabbath. No. There's to be a day when there's no work. And what's interesting here is, well, why? Why is that? Is it because we're tired and we need rest? Well, there's something to that, I think. I'm amazed, and I think we've talked about it recently on a Sunday morning. I'm amazed at how God made us. That He made us that we must sleep every day. That's weird. I mean, I know it's normal, of course. It's what we're all used to. Except for the end of, you know, finals in college or something. But if you were going to design, create a people, wouldn't it be much more efficient if we didn't require rest? Wouldn't it be much more efficient if we could just labor 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Wouldn't we get more done if that was just kind of built into the system here? God says, no. No, you're weak. You're frail, and you're going to feel it every single day. And as the days go by, you feel it more every single day. Amen, brother. That's weird. And so there is something about God saying, you need to rest. But it's not just that. It's also tied to creation. Everywhere the Sabbath is mentioned in the Scriptures, it ties it back to creation. In the very beginning, Genesis, when God made everything, He labored for 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. Now, isn't that strange also? God is not human. He does not grow tired or weary. He never slumbers or sleeps. He doesn't need rest in the way that we need rest. And yet, it means on the seventh day, God ceased. And in part, He ceased to reflect on what He had made, what He had done. He had turned His attention to the work of His hand to take time to pause and say, this is really good, what I have made. And so He invites us in the Sabbath time to stop from our work, to stop from the tasks of trying to create whatever it is, whether it's creating a company or an industry or creating a term paper or just creating a clean house. He invites us to stop from the labor and to look and reflect on the work that God has done and who God is. A day set apart to the Lord, keeping it holy. A day stopping in our work so that we can focus and rejoice in who God is and what He has done. So the first connection we see in the Scriptures here is the Sabbath is connected to creation. So it's not a Jewish command. It's not a Christian command. It wasn't given first to Moses, where he's articulating it here, but it's not based upon the Old Testament, Old Covenant. It's not based upon the New Covenant of the Church. It goes right back to creation, which I would suggest that it means it is to be continued on. Sabbath is to be carried on even in the Church age here, because it was established in creation. And what's interesting about the seventh day in creation, and we have all these debates, right? Okay, are the 7 days of creation, are there 24-hour literal periods, are the day 1,000 years, are they 1,000? How do we reconcile it with science and all that? And we've walked through that before. I'm happy to walk my understanding of the Scriptures through that again. But one thing we got to notice is day 7 in creation has no end. There is no, it was morning, it was evening, the third day, the fourth. It doesn't end. We're living in the creation seventh day still today, because not only is it a day that God rested, but it's also a picture of our eternal rest in heaven. As the book of Hebrews in chapter 3 and 4 describes, that heaven is our Sabbath rest that goes on for eternity. So when we take one day a week, set it aside as holy, stop in all of our work, reflect on who God is and how glorious His work is, we also are getting a foretaste and remembering heaven's coming. Heaven is coming. This morning, we were getting things set up here. My dear sister Joan and my brother Mike and I, we just reminded each other, you know what? Because of Jesus, we're going to go to heaven. We're going to go to heaven, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah! Heaven is coming. Not because we're good. Not because we're something so holy. Because Jesus died on the cross and we trust Him. By faith we come to Him and His grace has made us part of His family. That eternal rest is coming. And you know what? I wonder if we hadn't gathered this morning, if I wouldn't have remembered that. But I'm so encouraged by that. I'm so encouraged. I mean, we said, Lord, soon. Come on, let's go, Lord. Soon would be great. Thank you very much. Our Sabbath day that's set aside, kept holy. We do no work. We reflect on who God is and all He has done in creation. We reflect and remember that we are His eternally and heaven is coming. Remember the Sabbath day. Why? He concludes in verse 11 with why we are to remember the Sabbath day. It says, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Therefore, as dear Virginia Brown would always say, when you see a therefore in the Scripture, ask, what's it there for? Right? Remember the Sabbath day. All the how comes in between there. We just looked at second half of verse 8 through verse 10. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is a special day set aside from the Lord because He set it aside. And it is a day that is holy. We remember the Sabbath day in order to follow what God has done. Father, You rested on the seventh day, on the Sabbath. I will too. Father, I want to do what You do. I want to follow You. Following Jesus doesn't just mean that we say a sinner's prayer. Doesn't just mean that we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts. Following Jesus means all of our lives are geared towards Jesus. That what He does, we do. What He says, we obey. We love. We long. We hang on His every word because He is Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our friend, our King, our God. And so we listen to Him and say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus, teach us how to work. Jesus, teach us how to love. Show us, Lord. What did You do? You washed Your disciples' feet? Okay. We will too. You went to those who were outcasts in society and who all the upright and put together people ignored and walked by. You went and hung out with them? Okay. We will too. When people were hurting, You stopped and You helped them. Okay, we will too, because Jesus, we want to follow You. And Father, You paused and set aside the Sabbath day. Okay, we want to also. We want to make this day different. We want to make this day where we remember You, O Lord. We want to make this day where we rejoice in who you are as a way of loving the Lord our God. So I do want to touch on briefly, why do we have our Sabbath on the first day of the week instead of on the seventh day of the week? Well, theologically, the shift is now because as followers of Jesus, we see that Jesus rose again on the first day of the week. And so we gather to celebrate the Lord's Day, that is our day of setting aside, of remembrance, when Jesus rose from the dead. We see that they already are starting to do that in the New Testament a little bit. We see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, that Paul is having a prayer meeting and a time of a worship service for the Lord on the first day of the week. They gathered all the disciples and the followers of Christ together on the first day of the week. We see Paul says to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, he says that you should set aside your offering, the money that you've decided with the Lord to give, that you set it aside on the first day of the week. And you do that as an offering there, a time to come together. But we even start to see it some in the Old Testament. I think as a bit of a precursor to us as Christians celebrating our Sabbath on the first day of the week instead of on the seventh day of the week. And, you know, that being said, there are some Christian traditions that do still follow a seventh day, that they would have the Sabbath on Saturday as opposed to Sunday, though not very many. But in Leviticus chapter 23, probably not many of us were in our devotions this morning in Leviticus, I'm guessing, but read Leviticus. It's good. It's hard, I know, but it's good. It's the Word of God, yes. Leviticus chapter 23, in verse 7, we get a sense here, talking about the Sabbath and then the Passover. It says, on the first day, hold a sacred assembly and do no regular work. That's the first day of the week that this sacred assembly is called for, revolving around the Passover. In verse 15 of that book, from the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count 7 full weeks. So this is a worshiping time together that comes and a sacred assembly on the first day of the week. Verses 35 and 36, again of Leviticus chapter 23, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the 7th month, the Lord's Feast of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. Then it comes back again. For 7 days, present offerings made to the Lord by fire. On the 8th day, hold the sacred assembly. It would have been the first day. So we see part of that coming into the worship of Israel, even in the Old Testament. So we set aside 1 day in 7, and we set aside the Lord's Day as a day for our Sabbath. So what do we do? Well, I'd encourage you to pray and to earnestly seek God to say, how, Lord, do you want us as an individual, as family, as a community, to remember the Sabbath day? That it's a day that's different. It's a day that's set aside. And it's not because God is trying to be mean. It's because He loves you. I know every time I talk about Sabbath or preached on Sabbath, I tell this story from Professor Marva Don's book on worship. I still can't find the historical reference. So, but she tells a story of back in the expansion days of the United States when everyone was going west, that there were two wagon trains that left the East Coast at the same time. and one wagon train, whatever it's called, wagon train, that's not the right word. What's that? A caravan of wagons. Yeah, sure, let's go with that. Wagon caravan. I like that, Malin. Decided they're going to get wherever they're going west as fast as they can. So they were going to travel 7 days a week. The other caravan thing, they were keeping the Sabbath. And so they were only going to travel 6 days. On the seventh day, they were going to rest. They were going to set it aside to the Lord, and they were going to dedicate it to God. And the Sabbath-keeping caravan got there first. Now, we can try to reason that away and say, well, the rest on that day, it made it so they traveled faster the other six. Okay, maybe. I don't know. But here was a group of people who set aside and said, we are going to set aside one day to the Lord. And at least there's this little picture in my mind of God's blessing upon it. Not as a, well, God, if I do this, will you give me what I... No, but a life that says, Lord, we want to follow your ways. What do you do, Lord? We want to do that too. It gets harder now, maybe, than when some of you were children. Because our culture does not honor the Sabbath day. It's very difficult. It's very easy now to say, well, things are going on. The stores are open. As you all know, and I know we can, you know, lament about this in various forms, I understand, but sports are happening. On, you know, for kids, sports are scheduled for Sunday mornings now. And those are really hard decisions because our culture doesn't help us by setting a framework. So I want to ask and encourage one another in love, humbly. Can we help one another to set aside the day as special? I don't even necessarily know what that looks like. I know what it doesn't look like. It doesn't mean judging each other for decisions we make. It doesn't mean that. But if we as a community can set up more of a framework, I wonder if that would help, even if the rest of our culture doesn't. And so part of it is saying, which we're going to read in just a minute, we're going to declare our church covenant before we take communion. And you know the line, right? You trip over it every single time. I do too. It's just, right? We give our church, we give its claims a sacred preeminence over all organizations of human origin. That's hard in our culture. But let's encourage each other in that. Let's help each other. I remember one time we had one of the sports teams, one of our children was on. They were having a tournament, and it was like two games on Saturday and two games on Sunday morning. And I remember either Cynthia or I having a conversation with one of their parents. They're saying, oh, so we'll see you tomorrow. And we're like, oh, actually, you know, we're not coming to the games tomorrow. You know, we'll be at church. And they were surprised, not because we were going to church, but they were surprised, and they thought, you can do that? You can say no to something like a sport or event or something and choose church first? And it was almost like a relief came over them that they saw someone else in the culture was making a choice that was hard, you know. But they'd never considered it as a possibility before. Wow. Interesting. And in fact, it gave them permission to think at least about how they make choices. Right? We weren't saying, how dare you go on Sunday morning. We are going to church. Aren't we awesome? Ha! You're going to play soccer. Ha! Well, I hope God doesn't rain down fire upon you. I know we'll be blessed because we're such good dudes. No! No! Let's encourage one another. humbly loving one another. Let us remember the Sabbath day, and in doing so, love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Let us make this day special, so that we and our children, 50 years from now, throughout all eternity in heaven, we remember and say, boy, Sabbath was so special. Boy, did we draw near to God in that time and celebrate Him. We loved the Lord our God. Let's pray. Father, we could study Your Word on Sabbath for every Sunday for a year, Lord, and not exhaust what You say about this, Lord. So I just pray that and ask that You would help us to remember the Sabbath day. Help us, Lord, to keep it holy, to do no work, to follow You and focus You and to reflect on who You are, to rejoice in who You are and who we are in You, to find rest for our souls and our bodies, O Lord God, and to look forward to heaven. Would You please make our Sabbath day special? For it is Your day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.